Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well, it's a pleasure to have one of the new signings, a new face for the Purple Army, Braden Burke. It's Murph here on Clan Chat. As the summers can sometimes be a time of real trepidation and wanting those signings to come rattling in. But I know the Purple Army are really happy with the announcement of your signing, Braden Burke. Thanks for taking the time to join us here on Clan Chat for the first time.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here. Happy to introduce myself to the Glasgow Clan fans, and hopefully I'll see them soon.
It's interesting because we were just talking off camera. You've been training this morning. You've been skating with some guys, and a lot of our fans, a lot of the Purple Army fans will be watching along and following along the NHL playoffs. We were joking there with producer Craig. We could probably talk for the next 2 hours about what's going to happen where you are right now in the city of Edmonton and the Edmonton Oilers. The next 7 to 10 days is going to be absolutely magical where you are.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, the city's definitely buzzing right now for the Oilers, and they're starting up tonight in the conference finals. So everyone's here, got their flags rolling around, and it's definitely Oilers season here in Edmonton.
Who were you skating with today? I mean, is there a pro skate there that you get in the morning, or is it old buddies around the area?
Yeah, I have a couple guys around west side of Edmonton that I skate with and train with in the mornings. They play in the KHL all around Europe. It's kind of just a bit of a melting pot of guys from all around Europe and North America that come together in the summers.
And Braden, well, you talk about the KHL and stuff. You've had a wonderful journey, and what a way to see the world, right? I mean, hockey is such a privilege, but you played in Germany, Finland, a short spell in Switzerland. There's been a couple of AHL stops, but talk about the last few seasons. I mean, you were in the DEL in Germany with the Roosters last year. So let's start there. You're coming from the DEL, which a lot of our fans are well versed in. So talk about your season last year.
Yeah, no, I very blessed to be able to live in all the cool places and be all the places that I've seen at a young age. So it's definitely a really cool job. And obviously playing in Germany, I really liked living in Germany. I enjoyed the lifestyle, and the teammates were really good. I had a couple injury setbacks, whatever, that halted the season a little bit. But all in all, it was a really good experience. And so far, all my stops in Europe, I've really enjoyed. So can't really complain about anything.
And there's a bit of it's probably a reach for me, but Lukko Rama a couple of seasons ago in the Finnish Liga, and you had a great run in the Champions Hockey League. But Corey Nielsen, when he was coaching the Nottingham Panthers, the first year the Elite League was involved, Corey Nielsen, when he was on the Panthers bench, came up against Lukko Rama. Now, all those years later, he's trying to recruit you after you had a season a couple of seasons ago with Lukko Rama. Talk about your time in the Finnish Liga, because it's one of the best leagues on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, the hockey world is small. That's something you learn pretty quick in this job. So not surprising that I've come across probably many guys that I'll play against this year and be teammates with. That's the way it goes. But Finland, yeah, that was a good year. We had a pretty solid team, went pretty far in the Champions League, and we were one goal away from making the final at home there. So bittersweet ending, but all in all, it was a really fun year, and we were able to see a lot of cool places, play in different countries, which is definitely a cool add-on when you're playing, obviously stuck in Finland, which gets pretty cold in the wintertime. So getting a little vacation into Switzerland and Austria was not too bad in the wintertime. But the season was good. The hockey in Finland is very good. It's defensive, but it's hard. It's hard to find space there, but very good hockey, and it's a very well-played league.
And you actually scored. The Belfast Giants just had their CHL draw in the last little while here for next year's Champions Hockey League coming up. You've scored against the Belfast Giants. Do you remember that goal, or do you remember anything about, okay, this team from Northern Ireland?
Yeah, you know what? That was actually the first game we played competitively, because Champions League you play before the start of the season in Finland and pretty much everywhere, I'm sure. So that was the first game we played, and they came up pretty hard. It was a tough game, and I was quite surprised their fans traveled well and came to Finland and showed good support. It was a good fun game. I remember scoring the goal. I was the winner actually a little later. So hopefully we can do that this year as well.
And because the hockey world is a small place, I was actually doing the TV of that game, and I remember your goal. And we probably I should have had more forethought. We should have tried to find that goal and roll it in. You and me together for the first time. Little did we know we'd both be involved with the Glasgow Clan many years later. Talk about as well, like you talk about the defensive side of the game. I mean, that is the key. And during the time frame that you were there, I mean, this is a Finnish team that was winning Olympic golds and IIHF World Championships in the same calendar year. You're a playmaker. I mean, you're a guy that's a point of game player in your career. Did you like go, okay, this is great, I'm really learning a different through a different prism with this defensive hockey here in Lukko?
Yeah, I would say pretty much every league you move to, they have some sort of different kind of play style, whether it be faster, slower, more checking. But Finland, you definitely learn a lot because it's about being patient. Like, it's not always going to happen on the first shift, the second shift, the first period. Like, you have to be able to wait for opportunities and then take them when you can get them. And it really makes you value puck possession, especially in the zone. Like, you can't throw pucks away. You're not able to try to Hollywood passes that may or may not work. Like, you got to really hold on to the puck, wait for your opportunity, and then pounce on it. Whereas in Switzerland and Germany, it's a bit more free-flowing. There's some more saucer passes and a little bit more opportunities to score, but still very good hockey, and you also got to play well there.
And talk about, like, as a younger man, I was looking through some of the places. You really have done the gamut. I mean, your WHL career, Lethbridge, Moose Jaw, Red Deer. There's going to be fans going, okay, Red Deer, Moose Jaw, are these real places? But I grew up in Newfoundland, so I was following the OHL a lot. You were out in the West there. Talk about your time out there, because that's big boy hockey. The WHL is tough hockey. So to put up the numbers you did in the WHL, I think you had 338 career points in 238 games with that. That is big boy, hard-nosed hockey in the WHL.
Yeah, obviously, I was able to play on some good teams, which obviously helps everyone, but play with some good players. As a setup man, you need someone to score, so I was passing lots. I had some good goal scorers on my team, which made it easy. But yeah, it's hard hockey there. Like, they play really physical, hard hockey in the WHL, where like there's big guys out there that are coming from the farms in Alberta and Saskatchewan, so you got to find a way to get around them. But once you move up to the AHL, it doesn't get any easier. And no matter where you play in pro hockey, there's big guys that are trying to take your head off and play hard. So that's just the way hockey is. So you got to learn that at a young age. And I was able to do that, and the WHL was a good stepping stone for that.
Oh, absolutely. And then over 200 AHL games played, Tucson, Milwaukee, Manitoba Moose. That must have been cool, because that building is electric, I would imagine, when the Manitoba Moose are going well.
Yeah, some cool places I was able to play. Tucson, I really enjoyed. Milwaukee was a really good surprise. I didn't really know much about the city. I hadn't been really out in the central part of America, but I really enjoyed Milwaukee, and they had great fans in pretty much everywhere I played. Moose Jaw, I was coming back from an injury. I only played a few games, but I really enjoyed my time there too. I mean, I have nothing but good things to say about pretty much all my stops at this point.
And what did you know about Glasgow? Because I would imagine it would have been a good call with Corey Nielsen. He would have talked about the city, and maybe we'll get into it a little bit later about guys you may have known that have played there before, or guys on the current roster like a Sidorov or whatever. But what was Corey telling you about the city? Like, what do you know about Glasgow as a whole?
Yeah, the chat with Corey was really, really, really good. He really kind of explained everything about the city, what they're trying to do, what the plan forward for the team is. And it all sounded right up what I was kind of looking for. So, I mean, as far as Glasgow, my dad's from Manchester. He was born and raised there. So I've been to the UK quite often as a child, and then into my older years here. I've actually never been to Scotland, but I have heard from multiple family members how cool of a place Glasgow is. So once it kind of got the opportunity, I was pretty excited to be able to have a chance to play in a city that really caught my eye, and I want to be there.
Yeah, the Purple Army are a passionate family, so I'm sure Corey touched on that. And if you start talking to the guys that are on the roster, the Mitchell Hurds and the Devin Sidoroffs, the Steven Seigels, I'm sure they'll tell you. On a Saturday night when things are going well at Brayhead Arena, that is a loud, loud fan base. So do you have a little message for the Purple Army maybe about joining Glasgow and about the upcoming season?
No, just I'm super excited to come show you what I can do for the team, and I'm coming here to improve the team and make some highlight reel goals for me and my teammates, and hope you'll enjoy what I can provide.
So if someone's not seeing the highlights from the Champions League or the AHL or whatever, you talk about, yes, you're coming to create some highlight reel goals. What can the fans at Braehead Arena, what type of player is Brayden Burke?
I would say I'm skilled playmaker that will make smart plays, but definitely more of an offensive minded player. I'm gonna be there to try to put up goals on the board and help some of the guys put some goals up there as well.
I think everyone will be excited to hear that. There was so some great nights at Braehead Arena last year, and I think there's a better season ahead, which is incredible because we had a great playoff quarterfinal against the Sheffield Steelers. And that Friday night game when we hosted Sheffield, I was looking around going, the future is bright here. You know those playoff feelings when you go that like the future is bright here. And when I saw that Corey had got your name the paper, I did remember the Champions Hockey League with Luka and all that. So it does come full circle. When you think about new stops. And you think about, okay, I've played at a lot of cool places in Europe. I've played in the American Hockey League. Scotland, okay, it's a little bit different. You haven't been there before. Is that just like we said earlier, it's a wonderful way to earn a living, isn't it? Is to see cool places. And you've got family there in Manchester going, oh, Glasgow's a really cool place. So it's an exciting thing this time of year for hockey players to go, okay, well, where am I going and what are the options?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like every place you go is different and every culture is different, that you kind of being able to be so young and see so many different ways of life is like truly a blessing that not many people get. So I don't take it for granted. And obviously Scotland is like I said, I've heard great things about it. And for me, getting the opportunity to come live there and see all the outside things, not just in the rink, that's just like amazing, amazing thing to think of. And then in the rink is like, that's all. Nothing really changes there. I'm coming there to do my job. And once I get in the doors, like there's only one thing on my mind, it's hockey, right? And then once you leave, you can kind of decompress and think about the outside world a little bit. But when I'm coming, in the end, you're still coming there for a job. You're coming there to play hockey. You got to show your worth.
So you talked about there a little while ago, you've played with plenty of guys, you cross paths with guys you played against in the WHL or in the American Hockey League. Is there anyone that's played in the Elite League that when you kind of got the call from Corey, or I'm sure I know the market was strong, I'm sure you got calls from several teams, but like you talk to other guys and go, okay, I've got this offer, I've got these offers, like what do you think? Is there anyone that you kind of pick their brain, anyone that's played in the league before or currently plays in the league?
I talked to Sidorov shortly after I talked to Corey, and I've played against him lots growing up, met him a handful of times, and really thought he was a good guy. So once I knew that he was in Glasgow and then re-up for another 2 years, it made it a much easier decision. So I know we're kind of like have similar career paths, we're the same age, so if he liked it there, like it was a good idea. And then Chris McKay, I've just talked to, he lives in Edmonton here. I've known him, played against him growing up and everything, and he had pretty much everyone I've talked to have had nothing good to say, whether it be my agents, former players, and then obviously talking with Corey, the head coach, it was another really good chat. So I mean, everything pointed towards Glasgow for me, so it became an easy decision. An easy decision.
I think it was around this time last year, maybe onto the Stanley Cup though, because Chris McKay and I had a similar chat, and he was pretty excited. It was they had gotten through the conference final, they were in the Stanley Cup final, and he was talking about going out and watching the game and the buzz. So there you go again, full circle. It was about this time last year, maybe a week farther down the track, that I was talking to Chris McKay about his decision to go to Glasgow. I'm sure. Did you grow up? Were you obviously an Oilers fan growing up?
Yeah, oh yeah, I've been a Oilers fan since pretty much 3 years old.
Yeah. So what's your thought? I mean, Dallas are a wagon right now, and Rantanen's probably the best player in the playoffs. Are you happy to be in that time zone to watch the games? Because it's like 3 in the morning over here,
Yeah.
unfortunately, or whatever. So you must be pretty amped up.
Yeah, I know it's gonna be an exciting series for sure. I mean, I still say if you got the two best players in the series, then you got a good chance of winning. And I still say McDavid and Draisaitl are the best. So Dallas is deep for sure, but the Oilers, they've been playing some of the best hockey I've seen in years lately with their depth as well. And hopefully they can get Ekholm back here at some point, get a little bit of reinforcements on the back end there. But I mean, once you get down to these four teams, I mean, they're all really good teams. It's just like comes down to just who's going to get some bounces, I think, you know.
Yeah, they just kind of seem like a team of destiny since after the second game loss to LA, something just clicked. I don't know if McDavid went into the room and kind of had one of those meltdowns like he did when they were down 3-0 in the final last year, but everything has clicked since then and they've been almost unplayable. And Draisaitl with a little jab at the guys about the Toronto media the other day saying we can handle the pressure. I mean, they just do feel like a team of destiny, don't they?
Yeah, and the other thing is like they really don't look satisfied with being where they
No.
are. Like there's not one bit of satisfaction. They look like job not done, you know. So they know what they're there to do. They've been there before, and I mean, City of Edmonton's all rooting for them.
Who is your favorite player growing up? Now, this is a question. Are you okay with a couple of fan questions? Because I think Laura, our marketing manager, put a couple of calls out. So I think it's Chloe asking who your favorite NHL player was. We know your favorite team, the Edmonton Oilers. Who's your favorite player growing up?
My favorite player growing up was Sergei Samsonov, actually.
Wow, the Bruins.
Yeah, well, he came to the Oilers during that
Yeah.
2006 Cup run, and that's when the closest they've been to the Cup, so I fell in love with the little guy who was super skilled.
Man, because they got Thornton and Samsonov in the same draft, the Bruins, didn't they? And then Samsonov, yeah. Okay, so Sergei Samsonov, I wasn't expecting that one. A question here, hockey highlight from A. Perry. Hockey highlight so far.
I think I would say I scored the game seven winner with a minute left when I was playing in Moose Jaw in the WHL. That was a pretty good memory.
Yeah, game seven. We all grow up in the driveway thinking about scoring in a game seven. It doesn't matter if the Stanley Cup or the WHL or even like CIS or NCAA hockey. So that certainly. This is one a little bit out of left field. I mean, this guy must want to be an equipment manager or something. What is your stick flex and blade curve pattern?
I use 70 flex and a P92 curve.
Wow, I didn't think. Well, Samsonov, and I didn't think we'd get a question about your stick
There
pattern.
you go, a couple of randoms.
Does the number 41 mean anything to you? This is another question from a fan.
41 was given to me when I got called up after my WHL season to Tucson when I was a rookie. And they just give you a number kind of then. You know, I played in a playoff game right away after being there for a week, and 41, I played well, and 41 just kind of stuck. I wore it the next year, and I've worn it pretty much my whole pro career. The only time I wasn't is in Manitoba when they already had a number 41, but not many 41s out there, so usually I can get it when I get into most places.
The only one I could think of is Jason Allison played with the Bruins and the Leafs. He was a pretty good playmaker. He wore 41. And it's interesting you say that because I was talking to Laura, the marketing manager, who you'll hear plenty from the next few weeks, I'm sure, and talking about numbers. And I remember she said, oh, someone last year wanted the number 72 or 67. I said, that sort of number gives me stress. And she's like, why? I go, because when you're playing Triple A or when you're playing in the Western Pro League, when you're a young guy and you walk in and they've given you 79 or 80 back in the day, that means you're probably going to get cut, right? You're not in one of the good numbers. So those numbers give me anxiety. But then that's a nice story that you got 41 and look at the career you've carved out since then.
Well, luckily, there was no getting cut. I was called up in the end of the season, so the
Yeah.
year was going to end, you know, there was no getting cut there. But and then by that time, hopefully, I'd shown enough that 41 could look like a normal number.
But no, that's changed, right? You look all around the NHL, there's just, I mean, even Marchand wears 63. Like when I was trying out for AAA teams and stuff, if you were given 63, it was probably meant you were going back to play A or whatever. So like
Look
it
at
has changed for
34.
sure. Yeah. What about pre-game rituals? Another interesting question here on the wonderful world of social media. Pre-game rituals.
Not a big pre-game ritual guy. I try to eat pretty similar meal, just chicken, pasta, pretty normal, and then have a nap and then try to be one of the first guys at the rink. That's one of the only things that I do. Other than that, I'm pretty easygoing and don't have anything that they'll stress me out too much.
Well, thanks to everyone for the questions on social media. Some of them have been answered. Someone asked if you enjoyed Germany. You've answered that question earlier, saying you loved your time with the Roosters. What does a day look like? So you've skated this morning, you try and get to the gym, and you look after yourself. But what does a day look like now, other than cheering for the Oilers? What does a day look like in the run-up now to coming over and gracing us on the shores of Scotland?
Yeah, it's just I usually wake up, head to the gym about 9, in there for an hour and a half to 2 hours, and then come home. I'll make myself lunch, and then I'm either skating or I'll probably try to go to the golf course. That's it's pretty boring life right now, but I'm not complaining. I have 5 nieces and nephews who are here, so they keep me busy. I'm trying to see them as much as I can during the summertime, so try to head over there quite often, see them, and it's usually a good workout running around chasing after them for a couple hours.
Don't I know it? I mean, well, that's great. That's 5 new Glasgow Clan fans right there. And you mentioned golf. I don't ask the question anymore because this time last year, when I was asking the likes of Chris McKay and Devin Sideroff, were they excited about the prospect of coming to some of the best golf courses in the world, like St. Andrews? You're obviously a golfer. Are you bringing the sticks over with you next season?
Yes, I'll bring the sticks. Hopefully St. Andrews doesn't chew me up and spit me out, but we'll see.
Well, as long as you can say you've been there, it doesn't matter,
Fair
right? Listen,
enough.
Brett, I know you're busy. I look forward to meeting you in person. This was a lovely chat. And good luck with your Oilers. I'm sure that you and your buddies after your skate with your KHL buddies and stuff, you'll certainly find a nice sports bar to watch this run and what hopefully will be a Stanley Cup run for the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, fingers crossed over here. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, take your time. Enjoy your afternoon. Thanks for spending some time with us on Clan Chat, and we'll see you very soon in Scotland.
All right. Thanks, Murphy. Have a good day.